Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in here in Hampton. It's bright and sunny, but boy, is it cold out today. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be discussing the new moon that's coming up on November 22nd. It will be at 7:32 a.m. at 0 degrees Sagittarius, meaning the new beginning in the sign of a higher mind. Swami will explain the importance of the lower mind as a stepping stone to the loftier aspects of consciousness, as opposed to the use of substances to trigger altered states of consciousness. Later, we will talk about the seventh stage of Kriya Yoga, Dhyana, or meditation. Swami says meditation is not an activity, but a state of being. He will explain the difference between a trance state and a true meditative state. So, Swami, let's inform the listeners first about this new moon that's coming up. I have a few questions already for you. What should we be looking forward to, and what, if any, preparation should we be undertaking for this new moon?
Well, the chart of the new moon in Hampton is going to have, it's going to have Mercury in Scorpio, Saturn in Scorpio, the moon and the sun in Sagittarius, and Venus in Sagittarius, and they're all in the 12th house of the chart, which is also going to have Sagittarius rising. So with Mercury, Saturn, the moon, the sun, and Venus all in the 12th house, it would be a great time to try and understand the whole concept of religion. The whole thing of, because it is in the house of unity, you know, the force of the universe that is trying to break down boundaries, the dissolving force of the universe, the part that wants to return to this indivisible, unified state. You know, one of the things we always say, there's an innate drive in all of us that we want to be whole and we want to be complete. But that completion can't happen in the physical world. That in order for us to actualize this experience of wholeness, that we had to learn how to transform. And that literally means trans, go through form the physical. We have to separate our identity from the confinement and limitation of duality, fear and limitation, but rejoin with a different source of sustenance, this indivisible unified field. In yoga, we call that prana. In China, it could be referred to as qi. In the Bible, it's the grace of God, that there is a more subtle force than air that supports human life. The problem with it is that it's invisible and it's intangible. And we don't have the programming to sense something that's invisible and intangible. So a big part, you know, of a new beginning here is to maybe start to recognize that I do have an innate drive that I want to be whole. Recognize oftentimes that a lot of the symptoms that most of us are struggling with, you know, things like guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom, are really a kickback from this unlived latent potential that we want to be whole, we want to be complete, we want to be, you know, we want to return to this unified state.
Kind of almost sounds like somebody going through, I hate to use the word therapy, for example, but they have to consciously realize that they have a problem. In this case, you're saying that we have to consciously realize or understand that we want to be whole. And by not understanding that consciously, maybe subconsciously, we're sabotaging ourselves. You know, like you said, like, you know, through fear, anger, boredom, and so on. Am I understanding that? Is that what you mean?
Well, to answer your question, I think so. In fact, I think that's why a lot of us, you know, do turn to things like therapy. You know, because we don't really have answers for what's going on in our inner environment. You know, and so the problem is in my opinion, is that the therapeutic model doesn't really address it. You know, that they focus on the problem and not necessarily on the solution. Because the thing that we talk about here, this thing called apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine, isn't something that I have seen being presented in any therapeutic model. And one of the reasons why I say that, because they're not using the physical body, they're not using the whole thing of the physics of spirituality. You know, because what we're talking about here isn't smoke and mirrors. That you literally have to rebirth your body in a different source of sustenance. And it has an evidence procedure. But for those of us that are still drawing from this limited source of sustenance, then most of the symptoms that we're experiencing are coming as a result of a kickback from this unlived latent potential that we want to be a whole person. And that's some of the things that I think that we're very different. You know, in fact, most of the yoga community today, I mean, they just don't have these things in place. And that's what's very different about our approach to the science of yoga, that we do focus more on the physics. We do recognize that there are things that we can and we must do. You know, like cultivate the lower mind, you know, understand the importance of the physical body in the equation. You know, because the formula is how we think is what we become. Your body is a diagram of your inner thought process. But our bodies are basic primal organisms. You know, we move towards what we want. We move away from what we don't want. And we're driven by preservation and survival, so it has all the power. But the problem with the body is that it comes in with patterning, it comes in with programming, and we're looking for a source of sustenance that's visible and tangible. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's dualistic. See, completion can't happen in a dualistic dimension. Mathematically, if you were to mark two points, and you said the goal of life was to go from point A to point B, and you can make as many moves as you want, but you could only go one half the distance with each move, you would become rapidly close, infinitely close, and then frustrated as all get out, because you're never going to reach point B. You know, you're never going to find a number you can't multiply by 0.5. And that's the confinement, the limitation, the frustration that we're all experiencing, trying to complete ourselves, being attached to this limiting source of sustenance. That the term religion meant to relink, that the term yoga means union or yoking, that you have to rejoin with a different dimension of your makeup. That's how you get the result that you're trying to get. And just talking about it, you know, and offering you relief becomes an ever-ending, never-ending process.
You mean in the therapeutic world, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, in my opinion. You know, I mean, that's what talk doesn't cook the rice. It's one of the things that we always say here, that you literally have to rebirth your body in a different source of sustenance. And that's one of the things that I also noticed is that in our spiritual communities, for the most part, we're substituting this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality. you know, we're not tied into the physics of spirituality. And that's a big part of the programs that we offer.
Okay, so we have to realize or consciously realize that we want to become whole. And then with this new moon coming up, this is for everybody to take advantage of, right? It's not just for the Sagittarians out there in the world. This is for everybody. But my part B of my question is, if you are a Sagittarius from that zodiacal sign, born under that sign, is it going to have more of an effect on that particular, or those particular people?
Well, to answer both your questions, yes, that part A, that this is what they call a transit. So it's happening collectively. It's affecting everybody. Everybody has 0 degrees Sagittarius in their chart somewhere. And if you have a planet that falls at that degree or within orb of that degree, then it will have a stronger impact on you individually. But collectively, you know, this presents itself as an opportunity for all of us for this new beginning. So it's a good time for you to start to, if nothing else, I mean, maybe just start to question things that may be going on in your life. You know, how you're internalizing things, circumstances, situations, events, you know, or even, say, for example, using your body to help you give clues. Oftentimes, symptoms in the body can give you wonderful clues as to where you might be in your development. You know, that if, you know, if you are growing psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction, then you should start to get a broader sense of awareness, you know, a sense of connectedness to this greater whole. And if you can get that in your physical body and you feel connected to the void or the nothing, then you will have the benefit of internal support. With that comes a tremendous amount of calmness and confidence. Because you're connected to something, it's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, it's not going anywhere. And from that vantage point, you have what we call belief. You know, so belief in this model isn't something that you do, it's actually something you get as a result of having something that you can rely on to produce a consistent feeling in your body that you're happy, you know, that you're good enough, that you're special. And so no matter where this transit falls in your chart, it does present, you know, an opportunity for you to maybe start to glimpse this. And then if you had the inclination, then to start to do something about that. And that's why when you do start, you're going to need action, things that you can and you must do. You're going to need knowledge. You have to understand what it is that you're trying to do. And then, of course, the last thing is you're going to need a sense of devotion. And not just the connectedness to a greater whole, but dedication and determination to your process. Because one of the things that you're going to find is that this spiritual journey, the two things that have to be in place, one is you have to be sensitive enough to hear the call, but the other is you have to be strong enough to walk a solitary path. That's the litmus test. If you have internal support, then of course you have the benefit of independence and self-reliance that comes with the internal connection.
Right, before we take a break, I just wanted to ask you another question. In our description, we said that you were going to explain the importance of the lower mind as the stepping stone to the loftier aspects of consciousness, as opposed to the use of substances to trigger altered states of consciousness. Now, I remember reading this book, I think it was by Ram Dass, maybe, and it was about actually using drugs to attain these higher levels of consciousness. What are your thoughts on that, how do you recommend that we get to those altered states of consciousness without the use of drugs?
Yeah, the whole thing of using substances and external anything in this process is that you develop unnecessary dependencies. Taking drugs to get a glimpse of what we'll call altered states of consciousness is kind of like if you were hiking through the wilderness and you climb a tree. Now, if you climb up a tree, it will give you a different perspective in relation to where you are and where you may possibly be heading. Now, taking a substance or a drug is like continuously going back to the same tree. So in other words, like you climb up a tree, you look out and you say, wow, there's a clearing. Looks like a couple of miles to the east. Maybe it's a lake. Let's go and see. You come down the tree, you take a few steps and you say, wait a minute, I'm just going to go back and take another look. And so there's really no advancement. The other thing is that a lot of people confuse meditation with a technique. Now, by definition, meditation is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. There is a lot of preparatory work where one must enlist and employ and accomplish before you can actually meditate. Because one of the things I notice is that we do mistake a trance state for a meditative state. Now, a trance state is where you take a conscious mind, which is about the size of a quarter, and you put it in another coordinate in consciousness. It's not that hard to do. It's what happens when we fall asleep. It's what happens when we daydream. A meditative state is when matter and mind have come together with this life force, with this other energy field. That dynamic impregnates the seed of the mind, and your mind actually starts to open. See, a meditative state is not a loss of self-conscious awareness. It is what we call a more inclusive point of identification, so that you actually have awareness of what's going on in your body and you have awareness of what's going on in your mind simultaneously. That's why you need all of the disciplines and techniques that we recommend in the science of yoga. And one of them, your second stage of yoga, niyama, is saucha, purification, which you have to purify your body before you can get this other source of sustenance in it to validate, you know, the demands and fears that are coming from our bodies.
Okay, I think that's a good time to pause to take a break to listen to a word from our sponsors. And listeners, when we come back, I will open it up for some questions to the listeners to ask Swami. So get your questions ready.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Purnamevavashishate.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd like to open it up to any of the listeners out there who may have some questions for Swami today. Okay, Swami, I think we're just going to head back and talk about what we were talking about before we broke for the commercial break. So can we talk about the new moon that was beginning in the Sagittarius rising and Mercury in Scorpio, and then get us back on track?
Yeah, the new moon is the new beginning. And the whole thing of what we had started talking about is it begins with the development of the lower mind. That in order for us to be able to sense something that is invisible and intangible, we have to refine ourselves. And the lower mind is that part of the mind that is directly related to your senses. So it is attached to duality. The lower mind is where we get all of our messages through our senses. And one of the reasons why we are getting signals and messages is because of the simple fact that everything is dualistic. Because nothing is whole in the manifested world or in the realms of mind. Nothing is whole. There's a point of contrast. There is a point of departure, and it is that contrast that enables our senses to perceive what's before them. As you start to refine yourself physically and mentally, then what starts to happen is you start to develop a sense of awareness or sensitivity for something that is invisible and intangible. See, the higher mind is the part of mind that is actually attached to the void or the nothing, you know, the realms of endless possibilities, our imagination. And the more refined the lower mind is, the easier it is for us to navigate through these different energy fields or dimensions of our makeup. But it is of the utmost importance to understand that the lower mind is the vehicle, the conscious mind. And that's one of the things that we're always saying in our teaching, you know, that when you are practicing, you know, to work your mind, that you can put your attention in your body, you can put your attention in your mind, and you can turn your attention to this realm of endless possibilities, your imagination, right? And that's the Mercury image in mythology, right? In mythology, Mercury was the winged messenger. It was the one image that could go from Olympus to Earth to the underworld. And so your conscious mind can be in your physical body. The conscious mind can be in the mind. And the conscious mind can turn to your creativity, your imagination, this indivisible unified field.
So we talked about the 10th house, which you were saying was unity. The 12th house, excuse me, was unity. Can you let us know, are there any other houses that we should be concerned with during this time of the new moon that's coming up?
Well, I would say Sagittarius, which is in the natural zodiac, Sagittarius is on the cusp of your ninth house. And that's the house of your higher mind. That's the house of higher learning in general. It is, you know, where our aspirations lie. And it is also how we develop our reality system, you know, because everything in life is going to be association between what is outside you and how you're going to internalize it. And after a while, you're going to realize that we can never separate our sense of perception from what it is that we are perceiving. And so it is in the ninth house where you can actually start to shape your thoughts, where we can start to change our thoughts so that we can actually start to change how we feel and how we perform. You know, that's one of the things that we always say, how we think is what we become. And the more you are accustomed to understanding that everything is going to have this association, you know, and a lot of it has to do with the pattern of our bodies. However we program our bodies, whatever it is that we expect to happen will oftentimes determine how you're going to feel about that. And oftentimes if you're expecting something and it doesn't measure up or it doesn't happen, then you will be disappointed. So a big part of learning how the higher mind works is learning how to format, you know, this pattern of your body, how to use your thoughts to change your expectations, basically.
You were saying last night at our theory class that what you do is when you're in your postures and you feel a discomfort or instability or pain somewhere in your body, you try to find a thought that relates to that. Is this kind of like what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Because energy follows mind. How we think is what we become. If you have a symptom in your body, there is a thought pattern in your mind that is ordering it. And that's one of the reasons why using your chakra system and learning all of the different fields and facets of your mind so that you can on a regular basis check it. You know, it's what we call the gardening part, you know, where you're looking for the weeds. That if your outside world isn't matching your inner subjective state, then something isn't being consciously performed. So if it's not conscious, it's going to be unconscious or karmic. And that's where using, you know, tools like the labyrinth, you know, where you actually look and if you are skillful at it, you can dispatch imagery into these different departments of your life so that you can start to affect changes in your reality. You know, so working with your mind is of the utmost importance. And then, of course, learning the language of the universe. It's one of the things we always say, you know, the universe does not understand the negative. Now, when I'm constantly saying use positive imagery, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, something that is associated with being good. Positive imagery for something, the universe does not understand the negative. You can't say, like, I don't want cancer. You know, in some people that might seem like it's a positive thought, but it's not a positive image. And that's one of the things that we're always saying. Use positive imagery.
Wow, that was loaded with really good advice. I think we need to start shutting down our programs. Of course, I would like to invite all the listeners to visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. Also, keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming because he does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune into our program next week where we will pay tribute to Thanksgiving and we'll talk about how it relates to Kriya Yoga. Any final closing thoughts, Swami?
Well, I would like to invite everybody to join our spiritual advance that we have these past 3 weeks. We've been working on relationship and the importance of being able to not only ask for what you want, but to defend yourself, you know, to protect yourself in relationship, and also the utmost importance of your divinity. And with that, I would wish everybody a namaste.
Well, Thank you, listeners, for joining in to our program, The Voice of Yoga. I am Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda. We're signing off, and we're wishing everybody a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.